Welcome to Radio Shalom. Radio Shalom sender på 87,6 MHz FM og 90,6 MHz FM på hybridnettet. Vi sender mandag, tirsdag, onsdag og torsdag fra 18:30 til 20, lørdag fra 22 til 24, søndag morgen fra 10 til 12 og igen fra 16 til 20 på hebraisk. Hver tredje onsdag er det program på yiddish. I dag er det ugens magasin. Og ugens magasin indeholder følgende. Vi har, som alle ved, har det været 14 begivenhedsdage i København i forbindelse med klimakonferencen. Nu ved vi jo, at det ikke blev det forventede store succes, hvad angår resultatet. Men alene dette, at så mange, og fra så mange forskellige lande, deltog i konferencen, både fra regeringen og NGO'er, så det har jo skabt kontakter, og folk har det mulighed for at udveksle meninger og erfaringer, som på lang sigt vil give det ønskede fremskridt. Det mosaiske trossamfund har inviteret hele menigheden til Hanukkah-lystænding med Israels præsident Shimon Peres, som kom til København i anledning af klimakonferencen. Radio Shalom var med, og vi bringer hermed hele højtideligheden. I anledning af klimakonferencen har der kommet flere NGO'er, også fra Israel. En del af dem har boet hos private hjem, i private hjem. En af dem var Marianne og Baruch Wachsberg, som havde to NGO'er boende, og vi benyttede lejligheden til at interviewe dem. Og til sidst i udsendelsen kommer noget israelsk musik. Så velkommen til Shalom, og vi håber, at I kommer til at nyde den her udsendelse. Mit navn er Abraham Copenhagen. Som sagt, velkommen til Radio Shalom.
ולא היה בינינו אלא זוהר, זוהר ענה של השכמה ברחוב כפרי. ולברוהו של גן בטרם פרי, ולובן תפרחתו יפת התואר, ומה מאוד צחקת באומרי. אל השחר הענוג כברת אקלב בכתפנו למזכרת אשמרנו בין דפי ספרי את זרוח הנסת התזכור והנידות את ענף תפוח ראשי ירד מטר צחור, מטר צחור. מאחורי גבך הכפר נאור, החלונות מצטלצלו במלוח, ולא היה בינינו אל האור, אל האור. Thank you.
Your Excellency, President of the State of Israel, Mr. Shimon Peres, Minister Søren Gade, Minister Gilad Erdan, Mr. Ambassadors, the Israeli delegation and NGOs to COP15, dear guests and members of the Jewish community in Denmark, welcome, Chag Sameach, Happy Hanukkah. It's a great honor for the Jewish community in Denmark that the President of Israel and Minister Erdan and the Israeli delegation and NGOs, and of course, Minister Søren Gade as a representative for the Danish government, have chosen to celebrate the lighting of the sixth Hanukkah light together with us here in the Great Synagogue of Copenhagen. I think that we all associate the lighting of Hanukkah lights with family and closeness, being together with our loved ones, and therefore we consider it a special honor that you, Mr. President, and the Israeli delegation wish to celebrate Hanukkah with us. We hope that you and the Israeli delegation will feel at home here and will experience this evening as a pleasant evening with friends to celebrate the Festival of Lights, Hanukkah. The Chief Rabbi has asked me to ask you to come more often. You can see the positive impact. All our members are coming to the synagogue, so please come a little often. Okay, the Danish Jewish community has strong relations with Israel. Our members took part in the independent war. Our members have since the establishment of the state of Israel made Hakshirah and Aliyah. And although it is painful for a small Jewish community to lose some of the most dedicated members who make Aliyah to Israel, we are pleased that our members can contribute to the continued development of Israel. Today we have, as mentioned, strong ties to Israel, as many of us have friends and families living in Israel, and of course, happy memories from time spent in Israel. To have strong ties to Israel is not something we leave to chance in Denmark. The Jewish school in Denmark, supported by the community, has for many years sent the senior classes on study trips to Israel, like the Jewish community strongly supports Taklit, which ensures that children who do not go to the Jewish school will experience the amazing diversity and beauty of Israel. The Jewish community also strongly support various organizations who support Israel, for instance, the Zionist Federation, VITSO, Keren Hayesot, and of course, we are talking about climate, KKL, which for over 100 years has been in the front line for developing Israel from desert to forest and from marshes to fruitful land. It is due to these strong ties to Israel that we are so pleased that you, Mr. President, and your delegation are with us tonight. We know that the reason for your presence here is to negotiate the global climate challenges, and allow me to state that it must almost be a relief for once to be discussing climate issues and not the conflict in the Middle East. We hope that you, Mr. President, and the other participants in the climate summit will succeed because important matters are at stake. We also hope that Israel will be successful in its effort to achieve a comprehensive peace solution in the Middle East, maybe not tomorrow, but in the near future. It is a tradition to give presents at Hanukkah, and honestly, Mr. President, what do you give to a man who has been given everything, including a Nobel Prize? I don't have a second Nobel Prize for you. In former times, Hanukkah Geld was given, and after careful consideration, I take the liberty on behalf of the Jewish community in Denmark to give you a very, very special coin called a Hebrew coin. The story behind this coin, which dates back to 1645 and was produced in the kingdom of the Danish King Christian IV, is that Denmark for centuries had been an enemy to and thereby often at war with our neighbors in Sweden. The Swedes again invaded Denmark without warning in 1643, and from a Danish point of view, this was an act of great injustice, especially because the Swedes were successful in their invasion of Denmark. The Danish king therefore decided to issue a new coin as a kind of revenge for the Swedes. With his monogram on the front and the back of the coin carrying the text, "God is a fair judge." God is a fair judge, written in Latin, but with the name of God written in Hebrew. Therefore the name, a Hebrew coin. It was the king's opinion that God would harshly judge the Swedes for their invasion in Denmark. Today, the coin is part of history, and the relationship between Denmark and Sweden is characterized by mutual trust and friendship, at least as long as the Swedes do not beat us in soccer. Mr. President, it is a hope of the Jewish community in Denmark, like the Jewish communities all over the world, that similar peace will be established between Israel and its neighbors. And if you sometimes feel slightly pessimistic, then I hope that a look on this old coin can help you and the Israeli government again to be optimism. Mr. President, we, the Jewish community in Denmark, wish you and the Israeli delegation Chag Sameach and a safe journey home after a hopefully successful climate summit, and Chag Sameach to all who are present this evening, and please allow me, on behalf of the Jewish community, to give you this present.
In the Jewish tradition, we have a special bracha, a special blessing, which we say when we meet a king. And you, Mr. President Shimon Peres, Israel's number one, citizen number one, is the closest thing that we can get for an Israeli king. Therefore, I want to say, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shechalak Mechvodo Lireav.
Oh! Pleasure to introduce to you the Minister of Environment from Israel, Sar Laganat Asviva, Gilead Erdan.
Mr. Shimon Peres, President of the State of Israel, Mr. Finn Schwartz, Head of the Jewish Community in Denmark, Minister Soren Gerde, Secretary of State for Defense, I hope I said it right. Mr. Arthur Avnon, Ambassador of Israel to Denmark, Chief Rabbi Ben Lexner, members of the Israeli Knesset, distinguished guests, Kehila Yekara, Chanukah Sameach. I am happy to be here in this beautiful synagogue to celebrate Chanukah with the Jewish community in Denmark and other guests. I was amazed to hear about all your activities and charity and cooperation with Israel, with the government of Israel and organizations in Israel. And I must say to you from the bottom of my heart and on behalf of the government of Israel, Kol HaKavod. Kol HaKavod, you deserve it. I am also very pleased to be here in Copenhagen for COP15 together with President Peres, who truly understand the importance of fighting climate change and protecting the environment. Mr. President, as a green president, you are a role model for all the Israelis. In fact, although Israel's share of global greenhouse gas emissions is very small, it is represented at COP15 with a significant delegation, which includes government officials, members of the Knesset, local authorities, the industry, academics, and the NGOs. This shows the broad awareness that exists in Israel concerning climate change and environmental issues. These days, we are celebrating Hanukkah, marking the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem and the miracle of the oil that lasted for 8 days, more than 2,000 years ago. When I say oil, of course, I mean in the historical mean. But today, we need to help miracles happen. And that is what we are trying to do at the Bella Center here. If we, as human beings, do not take serious steps to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, nobody else will do that for us. The oil, which was found in the temple, was supposed to last for only 1 day, but instead lasted for 8 days. That is probably one of the first documented cases, my friends, of recycling or reuse. Today, we need to increase reuse and recycling in order to spare our planet's resources and create a sustainable environment. And in contrast to then, we need to reduce our dependency on oil and to expand the use of renewable energies. Israel is indeed investing significant resources and is going to invest even more in increasing the rate of recycling and increasing the use of renewable energies. It is not that we don't have the technology. In fact, I am proud to say that Israel is among the world leaders in environmental technologies such as water reuse, treatment and desalination, and renewable energies. We should be happy to offer the world, and especially our neighbors, the benefits of our knowledge, and that way contribute to the global efforts of reducing greenhouse gas emissions and preparing ourselves for the climate change. I hope that the outcome of the climate conference will be positive, and that all nations of the world will be able to reach an agreement on further steps to combat climate change. I also hope Israel will be able to play a significant role in this process. I wish you all a happy Hanukkah. Chag Urim Sameach. Thank you very much.
כבוד הנשיא, Your Excellencies, קהל נכבד, in this hour, between 7 and 8 o'clock this evening, many organizations have asked the Danish people to put off the electric light in their homes. We in the synagogue have turned all the lights on because we feel that this moment calls for light. The synagogue is illuminated in honor of one of the most important leaders in Jewish life. Some years ago, President Herzog, Zichrono Livracha, paid a visit to Denmark. And to the Jewish community, and we felt that to welcome a president from Israel was a new highlight in the history of the Danish community. Today, we welcome President Shimon Peres. And we want to express our deepest gratitude to you, Mr. President, that you, during your visit in Denmark, also took the initiative to meet the Jewish community. It is not your first visit to Denmark. And if I remember correct, last time you were here, it was during the summer period, and you expressed your wish that time to visit Tivoli, and you had the opportunity to see something which is very Danish. Although Tivoli is open for the time being, I do not think that the time is relevant for such a visit. This evening, you have shown us the honor of lighting the Chanukiah, and this moment will be remembered for many generations to come. The lights of the Chanukiah are rather small candles, but these lights teach us a significant truth. The small candles tell us that great size and quantity are not always the deciding factor. The feeble and few may have tremendous potentiality and power. This is emphasized in our prayer Al HaNisim, where it's written, Masagta Giborim Biyat Chalashim Verabim Biyat Me'atim. You did deliver the many into the hands of the few, the strong into the hands of the weak. Shakespeare recognized the potency of the small good deed. How far that little candle throws its beams. So shines a good deed in a naughty world. Character is developed by the small acts that a man performs every day. Israel is a relative small country, but brought to the world ideas which the whole world base their ideas on. The Jewish idols as kindness, justice, and peace are main factors in our Bible. The Jewish people are few in numbers, but they have given the world some of the greatest ideas, greatest teachers, philosophers, scientists, and Nobel Prize winners. And you, Mr. President, is counted among these great people, and we are proud of having you, not only as a president of the State of Israel, but as our representative to the world. This community has from the first day of Medinat Israel felt strong solidarity. From the first Yom HaTzmaut, we have had a special service, Tfilah Chagigah, in the synagogue every year. We have educated our children to love Israel, and I'm sure that you, Mr. President, know that we have succeeded in sending many of our sons and daughters to Israel. And we are proud of that material that we have given. They are most successful, and although we miss them in our community, we feel that we have, as the chairman said, contributed to the success of the Jewish state. So even a small community can add to the character of a state due to our representatives in many fields in Israel. the Ner Tamid, the eternal light which burns in every synagogue, is small, but it is a constant reminder of the achievement of the State of Israel. We wish the world with success in the next days and finish COP15 with success. We ask you, Mr. President, to bring our best wishes back to our brothers and sisters in Israel. We pray to God that He will give our leaders the strength and the courage to work for an honorable peace with our neighbors. We wish you, in traditional Jewish thinking, at Me'ah Vesrim, that you will be able for many years to come to continue to give of your life to the Jewish people and have the Spirit of God, which is mentioned in the famous pasuk from Zechariah, Lo bechayil velo bekoach, ki im beruchi amar Adonai Tzvaot, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts.
My dear friend, the Minister of Environment, the Ambassador of Israel to Denmark, the head of the Jewish community, Rabbi, the Secretary of Defense who just have been to Israel and came back, I appreciate very much your participating in that occasion. And dear friends, I am really moved to be here tonight. I really don't know. Is it real or is it a miracle? Small Jewish community that went through so many trials, so many experiences, and kept his head straight, deep convictions, moving feelings in a country, Denmark, which during the Shoah and since then has shown a real friendship to us, to the Jewish people. I know that many of your families have already, part of the families in Israel, are so proud to have not a very large but a very motivated Jewish Aliyah from Denmark and Israel. They are the best we could have hoped for. We are very proud about them. And they brought to Israel not just numbers, but quality and civilization and devotion. So I will bring you the love of Israel to the Jewish community in Denmark. I bring the thanks of Israel to the government of Denmark and its people for supporting us. It's very meaningful and very dear to our heart. They say that Hanukkah is the celebration of miracles. Otherwise said, that nobody can be a Jewish realist unless he believes in miracles. And that's what we are doing, actually. To be few and remain as we would be many. To have little and make the most of it. To have problems we are not short of, I assure you. But never to give up. To go through the terrible times and high times. I want just to make one current remark. Among the Jewish communities, when the operation in Gaza took place, the Danish Jewish community was totally supportive without any doubts. And also we have had the support of the Danish government. Today Hanukkah is exactly a year since the operation took place. This was the quietest year in the history of our people in Israel. No single person was killed. We chose simply that if Hamas doesn't shoot, there is tranquility. And I don't think that tranquility is a crime. I don't think that to stop shooting is a crime. When we are talking about human rights, the first human right is to remain alive. Because if you are not alive, what is the rest of the human rights? And we have the right to remain alive. We don't need the permission of anybody. And the fact is, no shooting, no fire, no war for us, for the Palestinian people. They are not our enemies. Doesn't give us any pleasure to see them suffering. On the contrary, we see in them human beings like all of us. We like them, they like us. And they are also in a way victims of a very small group, fanatic one, and being supported by a most unusual leader by the name of Ahmadinejad, who we know brings hope and peace and love to the world. His delivery is a little bit strange because he does it through missiles, he does it through terror, he does it through the denial of the Shoah, and otherwise is promising everything else. For us, he doesn't represent the history of Iran or the people of Iran. We have nothing against the Iranian people. There were times in history that we were extremely friendly. Not to forget that the first Zionist baby in the world was an Iranian Persian king, Cyrus, who sent Nehemiah and Ezra to go to Israel and start to rebuild the country. 61 years of Israel is a great story. My God. We have had to go through 9 wars. 9 times. There is no other country that has had to experience such a trial. We never initiated, but always defended ourselves. And in spite of us being few, and them being many, we won the wars. You know, the difference between great countries and small countries, say between the United States and Israel, is the United States can commit as many mistakes as they want. They will remain a superpower. We don't have the aristocracy of making mistakes. One mistake may be the most crucial thing in our life. So we are forced and we stood the challenge. But while fighting, we never stopped building. We never stopped looking for peace. We were never surrendered to hostility or to arrogance. Our greatest victory we didn't yet achieve. It's not a military victory. The greatest victory for us is peace. And so it will remain. Then, being small and old, there are many Jewish people who complain about Moses. They say, why didn't he take us to Saudi Arabia? He says, thanks heaven. He took us to a land which is poor and small and doesn't have water and doesn't have natural resources to show that what is lacking in nature can be achieved by human nature. Being small and offering land and water, we build an agriculture which is based totally on high tech and probably is the best agriculture in the world. You know, the yield per acre in Israel is 30 times higher than any other country in the world. We don't have water, so we do two things. We save water and we produce water. 75% of our irrigation comes from recycling, and a great deal of water is being saved by the tipping irrigation, which became world famous. And it serves to be millions and millions of people all over the world, fighting want, fighting desert, fighting shortages. And now the same we are trying to do also with energy. Basically, we prefer the sun upon the oil. Now they say in the Middle East there are two sorts of countries, the holy countries and the oily countries. We are totally holy. We don't have a drop of oil. So we have to have our own energy. But the Lord has blessed us with a very powerful sun, and we appreciate it. I think the sun is more democratic than the oil. It's open to everybody. It doesn't call for a cost, extra cost. It doesn't play politics. And we are on our way to introduce solar energy. We are a little bit strange in a way, you know, because we sold already more solar energy abroad than we use at home. On the other hand, today we introduced here an electric car, which is again unbelievable. We started 2 years ago, and it's becoming a world sensation to save oil, to reduce pollution. And again, which is very typical, 40,000 Israelis already bought the car without seeing it. So, you know, in love and in peace, you have to be a little bit blind, but never lose your faith. Never lose your optimism. And then Israel is also not having land and water. We live on high tech. In some of the high tech domains, we are first in the world. Among them, by the way, is the medical research. 18% of the world's most modern medical instruments are made in Israel. And I'm mentioning it because we have a very close cooperation with the Danish government in that domain. You know, Rifuah Shlema, happy health, is a Jewish tradition. It was said, Rambam said, that the attitude to health is the attitude to life. And again, we are so proud that we can save the lives of our people, of other many people. And the difference between politics and science and technology, politics has borders and fences and armies. Ecology is borderless, is armyless, and we must respect it very seriously, as our Minister of Environment has said. Then again, we have different ways of life. Some of them are unusual, like the kibbutzim, the moshavim, the erot pituach. But all of them are growing. You know, we grew in the last 6 years over 10 times. There is no other nation that did it. And in spite of the wars, we remain democratic. Never did a day of war postponed a moment of freedom. I can assure you we are not short of parties to make sure that Israel is free, not short of debates, not short of accusations. But when it comes to stand, we stand together. You, us. And for the sake of our fathers, grandfathers for the sake of our children. You know, we are such a wise people that we know the answers to all questions, but one question we don't have an answer, and that is, who is a Jew? Usually they say a Jew is a person that his parents, or at least the mother, was Jewish. When I think today, who is a Jew? I would say a Jew is a person that tries his best to keep his children Jewish. And that's what you do in Denmark. That's our future, and we have to do it. Environment is global. Israel cannot be a great partner, but Israel can be an important laboratory to introduce new ideas and new technologies, which we do. Israel, in a way, is a world laboratory for modern arts, and now the climate change is on the top of the issues. And also we are a pilot plant because we are small and we are caring. We are proud for the achievement. We are proud of our brotherhood. We must be careful, have worries, have to be alert. Alert in the double meaning. Not to be surprised by attack, but never to lose hope for peace. We shall continue to do it. I'm so glad tonight to be here among sisters and brothers with a united feeling, with a great determination to be what we're supposed to be, namely a people that prefers the moral call upon all other temptations. You know, we produced one document which is all told only 170 words, the Ten Commandments. That's the only document that nobody has had to change. It remained as it is for 3,000 or 4,000 years, and this is the basis of the Western civilization. That we don't want to change or to forget. But on the other hand, we want to be as modern as the latest development in science. This is our way to be traditional as our spiritual preference and to be modern like nobody before us. We can do it and we shall do it. Again, I bring the love of the people of Israel, including the Olim from Denmark. I bring you the warm dishes, the warm wishes for this Hanukkah, which is again a moving occasion. Great shortages and full of light. And one candle can throw away a great deal of darkness. Thank you very much. Chag Sameach.
Ja, god aften og velkommen til Radio Shalom. Mit navn er Marianne Vaksberg, og jeg sidder her sammen med to NGO'er fra Israel, som har været med til den store klimakonference her i ugens løb. Og vi vil snakke lidt med dem om, hvad de har oplevet, og hvordan de har synes, at det hele har forløbet, og også om deres specielle årsager og emner for at komme. Og den ene, han hedder Naor Yerushalmi. Han kommer fra den israelske miljøorganisation, eller rettere sagt NGO-miljøorganisation. Og den anden, han kommer fra en by, der hedder Sakhnin, som ligger i det nordlige Israel, hvor han har været involveret i flere forskellige miljøprojekter, og han har været borgmester i to omgange. Og interviewet vil foregå på engelsk. Så jeg håber, at alle kan følge med. So welcome to both of you. Welcome to Copenhagen. Welcome to Radio Shalom. It's very nice of you to give us an interview. And I was just introducing you very shortly that you are Naor Yerushalmi from the Israeli NGO, an environment organization, and you are from Sakhalin.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe we'll take you one by one, and maybe you just tell us just a little about your background and your reasons to be here.
Okay, thank you very much, and I'm very happy to be here in Radio Shalom in Copenhagen. My name is Naor Yerushalmi, and I live in Nes Ziona, which is a small town between Tel Aviv and Rehovot, not far from the Weizmann Institute. I'm the executive director of Life and Environment. This is a coalition of more than 100 environmental NGOs all over Israel. We all work together to promote sustainability in Israel, to promote policies, environmental policies in the government, in the business sector, and in the public in general. We work together as an environmental movement to promote these goals, and our role as a coalition, as the coordinators of this coalition, is to make sure that everybody takes part in it and everybody is heard in our work. Now, we came to Copenhagen to participate in the COP15, the climate summit in the Bella Center, and to bring the voice of the Israeli environmental movement in order to influence the governmental delegation that is here, and in order to gain power to our positions for the time that we'll go back to Israel in order again to influence decisions over there.
Okay. Thank you very much, Naor. And now, Mustafa, we would like to hear a little about you and your background and reasons to be here.
I am Buraya Mustafa, the ex-mayor of Sakhalin City for 10 years. I am active in the environmental activities. In the same time, I initiated the first environmental unit in the Arabic sector inside Israel. It's worth to say that in Israel we have about 18% of the population are Arabs, and they have also to put their input to the environmental and other ranges of life in Israel. I think in the environmental issues we are get equality. We use our experience, know-how, and contribute it to ourselves, to the our country, and to the global, to the international efforts. We came here really, we are a part of the world. We are people who are living in this planet, and we have the right, or we have the duty, we have the duty to defend our planet, to be a good place for us to live, for our sons and for our the people who's coming after. I think it's we should do that. We are working in Sakhalin in the environmental unit for raising the awareness between the people, especially in the schools, the young people, in order to make our behavior environmentally. Friendship environmentally, to all people who can save our planet. They can save in the in electricity, in energy. They can separate the waste, the garbage. We can use the reuse the water, cleanifying the sewage water, the clarifying water, the wastewater. Many things is going to be held in our institute. I think it's a famous place. If you see the picture there, it's a famous house also. We built the house in a special manner that it's going to save energy in in order to save energy, in order to be good space, but with the, most of its electricity is coming from the solar panels mm-hmm. at the same time. And its design is also reserve the energy, reserve the heat in the in winter, and we have some flowing towers, especially for the air in the summer. Especially in the summer, we need to cool the place, and this is what's going there. We are here. We contribute our experience, and we hope that the people, the leaders, will take the right decision that will be in time now, not to delay any decision later, in order to save this planet. It's the order, the time order. This is our order. We need to save the planet. They need to sign a good declaration there.
Yeah, let's hope so. We are, this is Friday evening, so we still don't know if there will be, there will probably be a declaration, but we don't know how it will be and which kind of declaration it will end up with. But it sounds as a very interesting project. You have both the wastewater project and you have this kind of educational part of it. Yeah. And as far as I understood, it's a cooperation between Arab and Jews. And I think it sounds like something that should inspire other people, because you usually hear you hear only about the conflicts between Jews and Arabs. So this really sounds as a
yeah.
How is it received in by the students, this kind of learning?
I think it's very interesting for us, for the students. The cooperation, the coexistence is going there in the good side. I think we in our center, it's written there that we need to be friendship between man and man first, mm-hmm. people and people first, then people and environment.
Yeah.
And we made many projects. Some of them, they are sharings with us, the Sakhnin, the Arabic Israelis, and with the Jewish Israelis inside Israel. At the same time, this place became a connection place between Israel and the other states. We have projects sharing with the Palestinians, and we get other projects that's sharing between Israel and the Turkish people, from the Technological University of Istanbul. And we held another project that combines between Israel, that means Sakhnin, with the Technion Institute, and with the financing from the United States, with the Palestinians, with a city near Ramallah, and with the Egyptians, with Sadat City. In Egypt, yeah, we try to make to deal with these things, because environment, there is no border for environment. Pollution, there is no border for pollution. For diseases, for everything, they cross the border. They don't. The CO2 don't never need a passport in order to pass from place to place. So we feel that we are doing our job, and the environmental job, the environmental interest should be global, at least aerial, regional. I think we are doing the regional, the best regional thing. And now in the conference, in COP15, we are going to initiate some conference for the mayors and the local authorities between Israel, Palestine, and the neighborhood of the Middle East. We are going to do our efforts. We are contributing our efforts. At the same time, we are learning from other efforts and experience.
Yeah. Sounds very, very interesting. What do you think you achieved from this conference that you can bring with you home to Israel? Yeah, so I would like to ask you now, or what do you think you achieved from this conference? Do you think you have anything that you can bring home to Israel that will improve your efforts?
Yeah.
Okay, I would like to ask you now, or now you've been here for almost 1 week and participated in different arrangements, meetings. What do you think you got out of the conference? Do you have anything that you will bring with you home to Israel?
We had two goals while coming to Copenhagen as Israeli environmental NGOs. The first goal, we titled it, we want to go to Copenhagen in order to influence Jerusalem, because our main goal, of course, is to influence the positions of the Israeli government and Israeli policies. Since the whole world came and focused on COP15 in Copenhagen, it was just right to come here to be part of it, to work together or vis-a-vis the Israeli formal official delegation here, and try to influence them here in order to be part of their decision-making process for the time that they will come back to Israel, and so will we, and continue the work there. In that, I think we have succeeded because we worked with them a lot during this week. They heard us here. They also heard us in Israel because we worked a lot with the Israeli media, and our positions were in the Israeli media during the whole week, even today in several news articles. And this is another way of influencing their decision-making process. Now, the second reason that we came here is to learn from other countries, from other NGOs, from the experience of others, and I think that I can speak on behalf of all the members in our group. All of us learned a lot. We saw many examples of of different strategies. We learned a lot about the issues and the agendas, environmental agendas that are currently in the front of the activities of other NGOs around the world. We learned by being part of this international process, the deliberations in the COP15, and also we learned from taking part in the Climate Forum, where it was the civil society event downtown, and we learned a lot from things we saw there. Last thing that I want to mention here is that we had two events that we produced in the Klima Forum. One was a screening of a film about cities as the future and as an answer to many environmental problems. And there was a screening in the Klima Forum Thursday night with some 100 people attending and 3 members of Knesset, Israeli parliament, that participated, and several mayors from Israel and from other countries. This morning, Friday, we had an open discussion on the campaign to stop a new coal power plant in Ashkelon, that there is a plan to build it in Ashkelon. This coal power plant is supposed to add 10% to Israel's greenhouse gases emissions, and of course it's unacceptable in today's world. Yeah. And we have several years, a campaign that runs for several years now, and we held a very interesting event this morning in Klima Forum with again some 100 people attending there. So these were our goals. We came here in order to promote our views, and I think that we have succeeded in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds good. Let's hope that you will have success when you get back. I would also like to ask you about how does people in Israel feel about the climate change? Is there a lot of interest about it, or is it not so interesting for people in general?
Yes, I think we have in Israel a high percentage. Most of the people, they are aware for the environmental issues. Mm-hmm. I think there was a research about that, that more than 70-80 persons who percentage who's awareing for the problems of the climate change, of the environment. I think in Israel they are aware also that for the work what the NGOs is doing, and we are part of this awareness, the doing this awareness inside Israel. I think we believe that you need for environment to think globally and act locally. And all what we came here in order to do two things. First, to be with the official delegation, to feel, to tell them what to say, to push, to press that we have issues that destinations, targets from the, we are representing the civil society. We are representing the people, not the government, but we need to press the government what targets to get inside in this in COP15, and in the same time also to share our experience with other NGOs. For example, what Naor said about the power plant of coal power plant in Israel, we feel that in other places they do the same thing, but some places they ask us how they can manage, because in some places they spoke about changing from gas to coal, and it's awful for us to stop that. I think many people want our experience in this side, and we have a meeting with the president, our president, mm-hmm. Shimon Peres, yeah. A day before his speech. It's a wonderful speech, you can say. And but when we say about the targets, greenhouse gases emission, he didn't have the number what we want, really, the exact number.
Right.
Yeah, we want that Israel will be accounted in the developed countries, not in the developing countries. Mm-hmm. And so... We spoke with Mr. President about the coal power plant, and we are happy that he said that he has the same idea like us. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good advance for our struggle in order to cancel this planning to make to increase the pollution. We came here in order to reduce pollution, not to increase pollution. Mm-hmm. These things, I think, we do the most of them. We are trying to influence the official delegation. At the same time, we get experience and make network between us and other civil organizations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess the networking must be very... very important for you. Yeah. Did you want to add something about this now?
Yes, regarding Mustafa mentioned, of course, the speech of President Peres. We were very proud and happy that President Peres decided to lead the Israeli delegation to Copenhagen. President Peres is working on environmental issues from the day he was elected as president. And he's leading this issue in Israel, together with Minister Erdan, the Minister of Environmental Protection. In the last few months, they struggled to promote the idea that Israel actually has to take a stand on climate change and to adopt a climate policy, which it doesn't have until this moment. Unfortunately, the rest of the government is still not understanding that this is today one of the main global issues, and that Israel has to be part of this global arena. It cannot just step aside and wait for something to happen. It has to be part of that. We believe that Israel should and can lead this effort, not just be a side kick or stand aside and see what happens there. Israel has technologies, water technology, energy, solar energy, biotech technologies, and Israel can be a leader in this world effort. That's why, although, again, we were very proud to hear President Peres, and we thought that his speech was inspiring and very important, we're a little disappointed regarding the number that he mentioned. Mm-hmm. Again, there is a good side and a less better side. The good side is that this is the first time that an Israeli official stated, put a number on the table. And of course, this is a huge step forward. Again, however, I must say, however, they're not talking about reducing greenhouse gases emissions. They're just talking about lowering the amount that will be added to our emissions in the next 10 years. Israel is not going to actually reduce the number, but to cut in the addition of it. So again, it's a step forward, but far from being enough. Now, what is still missing? What we're missing is a very serious government decision, work plan, and budget that will allow such a program, such a plan, to be promoted and to be implemented. If we'll get there, then this conference, this summit in Copenhagen, made a real difference from Israel. I want to stay to stress again, there is a huge step forward in the understanding, but for the implementation to be, there's still a long way to go. So we still have a lot of work to do when we go back to Israel.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you'll have your hands full. And let's hope that the Israeli government will listen to your ideas and follow some of your advice. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything you want to add, Mustafa.
I want to say that in the final, if this conference will succeed, that means they will sign a treatment convention. Mm-hmm. We need to continue our work. Mm-hmm. And Chas v'Chalila, if this conference will fail, we need to continue our work. That never means for us, it's a station. Maybe it's positive, maybe it's negative, but we still going to do our work in our places, inside our places, and locally in Israel, and every NGO return back to his homeland, and to continue our efforts. We never be give up. We'll continue our struggle till we reach that the leaders of the people give the highest priority for the environment, because the environment, it's our future, the future generations. And we are, most of us are elder people, we are living for the coming generations. Mm-hmm. I think we should give a good heritage for the coming generation, the good planet to continue live in prosperity. Thank you.
That's a good goal.
I wanted to say something that is not about the environment, but about people. We in Israel, the environmental movement, work a lot with legislators, with members of Knesset, and we work a lot with the environmental lobby, the environmental caucus at the Knesset, until recently headed by Knesset member Michael Melchior. Mm-hmm. He is, of course, today not a Knesset member anymore, but we maintain very good contacts with him, because he is very active on environmental issues. And we were very lucky that he opened a door for us here in Copenhagen that allowed the whole delegation of Israeli environmental NGOs to spend this week with the Jewish community of Copenhagen, and to be lucky to have home hospitality and also to participate in the candle lighting, Hanukkah candle lighting event at the synagogue in town. And I think it was also a privilege for all of us to get to know the Jewish community and not just to come, you know, to a convention when you go, everybody with the ties and the tuxedos and talking all day, but to feel a little bit about real life of the Jewish community here. So I wanted to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I want to say a few words about to thank Radio Shalom, to thank the Jewish community in Copenhagen who hosted us like really our families, and our delegation who came here. We in our flight we get also gas emission, and so before we came here we contribute an equal efforts and money to fulfill, to be against our, the emission what caused because of our travel. And so we didn't go to any hotel. We came to our to be guests in our in the Jewish community here in Copenhagen. I think we do the best things in order to continue our connections without any pollution. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, let's hope for no more pollution from now on.
No more war, no more pollution.
Yeah. Okay, I want to thank you very much for coming. It was very interesting to hear your point of view. And I wish you all the best of luck when you return to Israel.
Our pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ja, og nu kommer der en del israelske sange, og det er fra en plade, det hedder Mishirei Ahava shel Lea Goldberg, altså kærlighedssange, sunget ved Lea Goldberg.
חלוני וגם חלונך אותו הגן נשקף אותו הנוף ויום תמים מותר לי לאהוב את הדברים אשר לתפענך מול חלונך וגם מול חלוני בלילה שר אותו זמיר עצמו ואת ירטיט לבך בחלומו אור ואזין לו גם אני זקן שבו כל מחת את מבטך נושאת כטל טהור האורן הזקן שבו כל מחת אם בוקר יקדמני בברכה דברים רבים מאוד אהבנו יחד אך לא זרח באש נבך האור דברים רבים מאוד אהבנו יחד את בדידותי נגעה בבדידותך מול חלומך וגם מול חלוני בלילה שר אותו זמיר עצמו ואת ירטיט לבך בחלומו אור ואזין לו גם אני
איני רוצה כל לילה בחלום לראות אותך איני רוצה לראות בי פתח דלתי איני רוצה לחשוב עליך כל שעות היום ובמבטן הער של נערות בנות 17 איני רוצה לראות שחוק ניצחון ובוז ועקיצה האהבה הזאת אני רוצה. איך בשלוותי האדישה חייתי קודם חכמה בוטחת, ובגרותי נסעתי בלי בושה, ובלילות לא ביתני פחד. אך מה מתקו רגעי שבטנו יחד, וציפייה נחלמת לפגישה. כאשר נסתבר לי פתאום שאין איש איתי ושום רחוב שבארץ הזאת איננו מוליך לביתי, כאשר נסתבר שאכן אין שום איש איתי, נפלה עליי אימת השקט הבודד. כאשר נסתבר לי פתאום שאין איש איתי ושום רחוב שבארץ הזאת איננו מוליך לביתי, כאשר מסתבר שאכן אין שום איש איתי, נפלה עליי אימת השקט הבודד. כאילו רציתי לבכות, יכולתי לבכות בחידות, אבל איך אצחק לבדי בין מי